You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I am here with Bria Evenson. Bria has been in social selling for the past 7 years, and she got her start with college pro painters. And Bria and I have actually known each other, I'm going to say, since I went to kindergarten with your brother. So I think our parents have actually known each other forever in the really small town of Cobourg, Ontario. And the story I always used to hear about Bria's dad is that he started the lottery. And I don't know if that he started the lottery in Cobourg. Maybe that was the case.
I think that is more accurate.
The legends I've heard about Bria's dad and the stories. So our dads were always friends. And so Bria and I went to high school together. But before that, our dads were quite good friends in the entrepreneurial world, both entrepreneurs. But my dad introduced my husband to Bria's dad, both named Bill. So let's make this even a little more hard to understand. So there's Bill Gadd, which is Bria's dad, and Bill Shaw, which is my Bill. And when this meeting happened, all of a sudden, my husband was convinced that we needed to move to Vietnam and that there was opportunity there. And that's where Bria's dad lives part-time. So we have a long history with the Gadds and just incredible stories of entrepreneurship and absolutely inspiring stories that have caused us to do some pretty crazy things in our lifetime. So I'm super excited to have Bria here on the show and for you guys to hear some of Bria's stories and how Bria has really become an entrepreneur that has carved the way in earning six figures working 20 hours a week. So welcome, Bria.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Bria, why don't you tell us a little bit about your start in sales? How did you get into the selling world and where did that sort of start off for you?
That's such a great question. I mean, in a way, I feel like we're selling our whole lives, right? I've heard people say that before, but, you know, even before College Pro, I worked at an ice cream shop. You know, I worked, you know, in a little Harbor House retail store. But I'd say College Pro painters, when I walked into the student center of Queen's University when I was a student there, and I walked up to a booth, and this was sort of my introduction into College Pro. And I decided then and there that I wanted to run this student-run painting franchise. It sounded like a great challenge. It sounded really interesting. I was immediately drawn to the woman who became my mentor there. That's where I got schooled in selling, although, you know, realistically, after hearing you talk about my dad, I think my whole life he has kind of talked to us about, like, planted little seeds about the value of selling or how to sell, things like that.
And so what do you think was the learning lesson through childhood that really stuck with you? I know your dad's got hundreds of little one-liners and things that he says, but what do you think is the one that stuck with you the most that really embedded that entrepreneurial spirit in you?
Oh, gosh. Such a good, you know, I have such a clear memory of, you know, when you're a kid and your people always ask you, like, what are you going to be when you grow up? And, you know, one day it would like a movie star, and one day it was a veterinarian, and one day, you know, it's all these things. And I have a brother and sister, and they would say the same. And I remember so clearly my dad saying to me, you can do and be whatever and everything that you want, as many things as you want, if you're willing to work for it. And in a way, I think that was my first introduction into entrepreneurship, because it's when I started to realize I could control what it is that I wanted to do in my life. And that is the epitome of entrepreneurship for me. It's like, I get to choose when, how. It sounds very Pretty Woman-ish, but it's like, I get to choose, right? What, when, where I want to be. And that's just all, I think, you know, to segue it into even being like a mom and this business where I'm at now, like that really fed into like, and aligned with this, here I am with having kids now. And I'm like, I don't want to leave my kids to do something unless I really want to do that thing. Unless it's filling up my cup and spilling over to the people and giving back more than if I were even there for my kids, I want to be able to choose what I want to do, when I want to do, and how I want to do it.
You just made me realize that you are the perfect combination, because you've got one parent that is entrepreneur spirit all the way. And then from my understanding, at least what my dad tells me about your mom, who is a nurse, mm-hmm. and cares for people, you are the fusion of those two things together. And you've crafted a life that you can do both of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. Because like, you know, thank you for saying that. And mm-hmm. Realizing that for myself, I do really appreciate it. But yes, my mom is, you know, so much more steady Eddie in that sense and like conservative, but like so full of love and wanting to be such present and giving and giving and giving and giving.
Yeah. So that's, I never had put that together, but that makes so much sense. And it's incredible that you've been able to create that for yourself and live the life that you really want. So how did you, after having that experience at College Pro, how did your life transform from there to where you are now, making six figures from home, taking care of your family and doing what you love?
So I worked for College Pro first as I ran my own painting franchise. And basically what we did is learned how to market this business, knock on doors, cold call, run estimates, hire painters. I did a lot of failing. I did a lot of learning. I did, you know, but inevitably it was what helped me pay for, you know, my schooling and my life. And then I worked full time for them, teaching other people how to run these franchises for a few years. And it was in, they had a great leadership development program. It was in there where I met my husband. We were on a conference in San Francisco and you know, I just, love swept me away. I was ready for kind of that next thing. It was the thing that helped me meet my husband. And so over those years, I started looking for things that I could do that was still entrepreneurial. And I worked for a company called California Closets. I got to go around to people's houses and help them, you know, organize and basically sell organization systems. But it wasn't very fulfilling for me. And so that was kind of the next thing. It's like, oh, well, I have the autonomy that I like, but I'm not very fulfilled. And so I did something completely different and I worked downtown Toronto on Bay Street in a boutique recruiting firm. And that was really educational for me. It really taught me, as much as I loved the people there, that I did not want to be in an office required somewhere all the time. And then I had kids and that kind of just put everything else on the back burner. And yet as my second child was born, it planted me square in this position where I was like, I cannot justify wanting to go back to something I don't love, leaving my kid. I couldn't do it. And it's funny because I hear so many women, especially after the second child, go through this same feeling where they're like, whoa, I need to really reevaluate. One, I can scramble around and figure stuff out. But two, it's like you're just outnumbered all of a sudden and you just don't have the opportunity to be there. And that was when I really was like, what am I going to do with my life? What do I really love? So what happened for me is I felt, and I think this is where a lot of my real passion comes from for caring for, and it's really where I think the softest part of my heart lands for women, is that I was home. My husband was traveling a lot and working a lot, and I was home with these two babies. We'd moved it to another country. We'd lived in the US at this point in time. So I didn't know a lot of people. I was still getting to know people, but I felt very lost. And it was the first time in my life where I don't feel good in my body. I'm unhappy. I don't even remember who I am, and I don't know what my hobbies are. And I just felt completely lost, which I think, when I really think about it, is a very normal thing for moms to go through. Really, we have to put everything aside to have these babies. But at some point, you need to become found again. At some point, otherwise, you're just going to be stuck there. And not living, you know, your honest truth. So I remember thinking, how am I going to find me again? And I needed to start with my taking care of myself. I was stuck in this place that a lot of moms get stuck in, where it was, I call it the martyr syndrome, where it's like, I can't do anything because I have to do all these things for other people. And I realized I was using my kids as that excuse. And so I'm like, nope, I need to carve out this time for me. I heard about a workout program called P90X through a friend. I couldn't get out to the gym with two kids, just didn't seem realistic. So I ordered this program after talking with my husband. I'm going to do this. He's go for it. I push play on this workout. And for 90 days, I just really focused on carving out that time for me. And it was at the end of those 90 days, yeah, my body changed and I felt really great. But I think I realized who I was again. I'm like, oh, there you are. I'm confident. You're capable of things. You want more than, you know, the day-to-day activities. And it was like a real journey back to self for me, those 90 days.
It's amazing what happens on both sides of it, right? When you stop the routine, like you're not taking care of yourself, or you're not working out, you're not maybe necessarily following something that you know is good for you in terms of eating, how quickly that can change your mindset.
Totally.
And then on the other side, how quickly you can adapt again. I always feel like a completely different person when I'm on that one side of I don't feel like myself and I'm not working out and I'm not doing the things that help my mind get on the right side of where I need to be. And then all of a sudden that flip happens and I can take on the world. I'm a totally different person.
Yes. Yeah, I find 3 days, 3 days of doing the right things for yourself. Oh, you're being good to me now. I'm gonna, you know, like I'm gonna show up for you because we're aligned finally again. You're finally honoring what your body and your mind really want, which is healthy, which is goodness. And sometimes I think the thing people run into a lot is when we're younger, and by younger, I mean like 28 and or under 30 anyway, I think, you know, we don't realize that like we're so adaptable. But as we get older, we just become less adaptable. And so these things make such a significant impact when we are on or when we're not on in terms of our health and fitness.
Yeah, but for sure.
Even just talking about that time, those 90 days, I can almost feel like my throat I get very emotional about it because it literally felt like the world got lifted off my shoulders. Like I was in such a, you know, struggle, lost place as to where I was. And yet I was happy. My life was wonderful, but I was lost. And so that was my first step towards being found again. And if I could share a message, I think with anyone, if you're lost, if you're feeling that's start with you, that's the way back. Like you need to get back to like caring for yourself. You were saying how quickly you start to feel like, oh, I feel better. And you need to do it and do it and do it until finally it's a habit. And then you're all of a sudden your life kind of opens up and it's like, okay, I can take on something. What do I want to take on?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, how you phrase that, like, it's like, you can still be grateful for the life that you have, your family, your kids, and all those things, yet still not be fulfilled and living your purpose and doing what you were meant to be doing.
Yes.
There's definitely a difference there. You know, I think you had sort of said it earlier, like playing small versus playing to your potential.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between who I am when I'm just, you know, grateful and going through the motions and who I am when I have this zest for life. Mm-hmm. You know, it impacts your marriage. It impacts your patience with your kids and what you're open to taking in around you in terms of energy. So
yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like this energy transfer.
Yeah.
That happens. Love that. So when it comes to how you transitioned into what you're doing now, how did that happen? So you had this incredible experience, 90 days, it set you right, made you realize, whoa, there's so much more for me here. How did that then transition into a six-figure career part-time?
Right. So that's a great question. Two things happened while I was kind of going through this. Mm-hmm. One, I was realizing like, oh, you know, I want something else. And I would Google YouTube videos of women in my age bracket to see their transformation with this particular program to keep me motivated to get there. And that was probably my first introduction into social selling. I was watching other people share their journey and I was connecting with it. And that's when I think I was like, oh, you know, maybe I could do that. These people inspired me. And now I feel, literally, I feel freedom. Like shackles came off my body, freedom. And I want to help other people feel that way because I know I'm not the only one. And I was also kind of exploring like, well, I know I like fitness all of a sudden now. Like maybe I'll be a fitness trainer. Maybe I'll, you know, go back. I like helping people. So maybe I'll go back to school and be a school psychologist. Like I looked into all of these things. And I remember my husband being like, Brie, I don't care what you do, but pick something because waffling wastes time and costs money. And I'm like, 100%. He was very supportive, but it was, we can't keep having this pick it. And it was such an aha moment. I'm like, okay, I knew that actually this is what I wanted to do, but I was so scared. Put myself out there. I was scared because it was a path I didn't know. I didn't necessarily have someone specific to follow. But that was how I decided to do this. And then I think sort of two little things happened after that. One, I decided to like actually work specifically with Beachbody. So I did have a great system to start to understand, like, how do I help people? How do I carve out a little bit of time every single day? And I just tried to treat it just like fitness. It was like, okay, I need to create a new habit of carving out a little time each day for business. What are the things I need to do in the business to grow the business? But I also, bringing my dad back into the mix, this is a story I know I've told you before, but early on when I finally made this decision, I'm going to do this, I sit down with my entrepreneurial dad who's visiting me. We're out for sushi. And I was nervous, but excited. Like I'm always nervous and excited to tell my dad what I'm going to do. Not because he's always very supportive, but I don't know, I care. So I care about what his opinion. Mm-hmm. And he says, tweeter, because that's what he calls me. You know, I had a friend who was in network marketing who did very well in it. And he had a sign on the wall in his office that said, I'm just looking for the people who are looking for me. And that was kind of my second lesson, I think, into social selling specifically was there's a lot of people out in this world and the social networks allow us to connect with all of them, but I'm just looking for the people who are looking for me. And it helped me find my voice.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Every time I hear that quote, I heard it from you the first time and it always gives me chills because it's not only does it just resonates so deeply. I was talking to on our last episode, Michelle Barnes, and she said to me, you know, what someone thinks of your business is none of your business. And it's just, you know, there's so many people out there that don't understand social selling and they have no experience with it at all, yet they have an opinion about it. And it's like, when it is really, who isn't looking for the people that are looking for them? We all are. That's what life is about. That is what the journey is about, is finding your tribe and finding your people. And if there is a way to support a life of freedom, a life of doing what you want while you're doing that, I don't know. There is no better business recipe for fulfillment and success.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. And I know that fear of what other people, like it's a very real fear that people have of what other people are thinking. I've certainly had it. It's my own, I've had to struggle with it and grapple with it. And so I love what she said, other people's opinions about your business is not your business. Something that has always helped me with that as well is this idea of being really generous in your thought for where people are really coming from. Mm-hmm. Choosing to think that people mean well instead of mean, you know, attacking, because for two reasons. One, I think people say things sometimes, or you can read into something further than it is, like especially in social, when people are commenting, they comment on your stuff or they post on your stuff and you can take it in a way that it was never meant to be. So if you just choose to think of it very generously, but years ago, and maybe I'm dating myself here, but I used to watch America's Next Top Model. I'm not sure if I should be ashamed of that or not, but it was a guilty pleasure. I watched it all the time. There was a girl on there and she was from Russia and she was in America now and she kind of went all the way. I don't remember if she won or not, but every time they gave her constructive criticism or like even negative feedback, she immediately she's like, oh, thank you. Like, yeah, I am that. I'm good this way. She took everything they said and almost took it as a compliment. And I always think about that now. Whenever people say something negative, I just try to have a good laugh about it and think, oh, you're right. This is great. This is actually really great. So anyway, that's how I handle that kind of negativity that can come or that fear for people that can come.
Yeah, I think that's such a good question because I think there's people out there that know that the lifestyle that they could achieve through social selling, all the boxes tick for them.
Yeah.
But there is this fear of being judged and other people maybe not supporting their journey. How would you, knowing everything you know now, how would you wade through that and still obviously follow the life of your dreams?
I think that's such a good question. And if I've learned anything along this path, it's that so much of it is a journey into self. If you are always working on yourself first, then no matter what anyone else says, you can be like, ask myself, well, what do I feel about me? You know, people are saying this, people are doubting, but what do I feel? Because if I believe in me and I believe it's going to happen one day, which is really such a key part of being an entrepreneur, then all of a sudden it stops like mattering what other people think. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be what I would say to myself even years ago, like, start with you and be really clear on why you know you can do this. And if you're not sure, how do you get there? How do you first get so crystal clear on how you believe in yourself? What are the things you need to do to believe that no matter what anything else is going on in the world, you're capable of making this happen?
You just made me, you know, when you have one of those moments that you think about and you throw up a little bit in your mouth because you're like, oh, that was so horrible. So I remember back when I was working in fitness clubs, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and we had had a bit of a shitstorm of a situation with a new VP and all these things going on. And I remember the guy that I had been working with for the past year, he made this comment to me and he's like, I wouldn't have hired you. And that became the voice in my head. I took that on. All of a sudden, that was what I started, you know, believing and telling myself. Mm-hmm. And I went through this phase of feeling helpless and that I would never match the standards that I needed to. And, you know, it's so funny, like, now I look back and I'm like, you're an idiot. And that voice was never my voice. I made the conscious decision to take it on as my own, but I would never ever want to bet on anyone else but myself because I know what I'm capable of. But I only learned that lesson through taking on other people's crap and believing it like it was my own.
Yes.
So it's funny you say that, you know, because yeah. There's tons of people you come into contact with that think they know you better than they know yourself. And, you know, it always, you know, hindsight's always
rude that he said that, first of all.
Oh, he was not a kind person. And this is the other thing is like, when I looked at the trajectory of where I was going to go with, you know, being with this company, it was like, unfortunately, there was a lot of drug problems. Mm. Everyone's drinking like 2 or 3 rock stars every day. Not kind to, you know, it was a recipe for, I don't want this life. Yeah. This is not what health and fitness is. And I ended up making a move and it couldn't have been a better decision, but I was so torn up and broken about it because it was all I thought I ever wanted was to work my way up with this company. So that fear, I had a really good chat with a business coach that was on episode number 2, Melissa West. And she said to me that there's a difference between running away from something or still doing it, even though you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what it was for me. I still left a company I'd been with for a long time, even though I was afraid, but it couldn't have been a better decision for me. So that's probably a good question for our listeners to ask themselves. Are you running away from something, or are you scared and now not doing anything just because of that fear?
Yeah, staying there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I think, a good lesson as well in terms of sometimes we go through things, or we're all going to go through these negative experiences. And as long as you're listening, I think, to yourself, and as long as you're constantly working on yourself, you're going to start to realize that they come in for the next opportunity to be provided for you. Like, think of what you, like you said, what you learned there and what you now know. If you're looking for the learning, then it's there.
Absolutely. It's one of those things that when I look back for myself, there was a period of time that I was bitter about it. But now I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness he was someone that I never wanted to be around after that moment that you tell me you basically don't trust me. But if I wasn't uncomfortable, I wouldn't have made the move and I wouldn't have left and I would still be there to this day. So it is, there's a gift there, right? There's a gift if you choose to accept it and look at it as that. But fear is a funny thing. It can chokehold you and cause you to, you know, stay in something that really makes you unhappy.
Totally. Absolutely. We were talking about that even before this call. Like, you know, there's, you always have this choice and where this, there's things that happen and it, you're like, oh, all of a sudden I feel really nervous, even if it's the right thing. And what is it that you said about
resistance?
Yes. About the resistance and how to, you know, if you think it's the right thing, but your body's resisting it, try to write it down, say it out loud, say it even like you would to your child.
Yeah, it's whenever you feel yourself, we all have these, you know, like kind of niggly little things that happen to us where all of a sudden there's this decision that makes you feel uncomfortable. And so we download everything as children from our parents. And then there are certain things that happen through childhood that there's one or two phrases that you just hold on to and you remember. And then all of a sudden, something will come up in your adult life and you go right back to that place unconsciously without knowing. And that's where that little feeling is coming from. So if you can figure out in that moment what it is and act, you can't just think about it. You've got to write it down because that brings it forward from your subconscious to your prefrontal cortex. And then, so let's say that the feeling that you have is I'm not good enough or I'll never have enough money. Whatever that, you know, we hear lots of things, right, as kids. Yeah. And then we hear it once and we hold on to it and we're like, this is the truth. So you take that thing. Let's say it's your thought is that I'll never have enough money. There'll never be enough, let's say, to be comfortable. Let's say that's the thought that's going through your mind. So what you do is you write out that feeling and thought, and then you picture yourself saying that to your daughter, or you picture yourself saying that to someone you love. Like, listen, Kennedy, there's never going to be enough money for you. I just need you to know. And so you picture yourself saying that. And then what you do is you rewrite the script. This is what I actually want to say to you. And then, so the trick here, there's actually a process you can go through. So you record it after you've written it out, you record it on your phone and you listen to it in the morning because your subconscious is more receptive in the morning. You listen to it for 67 days. After doing that, it will shift and it will move on.
67 days. That's the number.
67 days. Yeah. Yeah. I heard that from a doctor on one of my mentor, Rick Mulready's show. And since then I've just been telling everyone because it's so specific. It has to work.
I love it. I love that. Yeah. That's so specific.
So specific. It better work after that many days. I'm sure it does. It's got to, it's science. So, so I guess then in terms of the other question I want to ask you is obviously about this, you know, you've become this guru in being able to work a six-figure business in 20 hours a week. And I hear, you know, we all hear this, you know, excuse or belief all the time that there's not enough time to like get to where I want to be. I don't have enough time in the day. So if you were to give someone some advice there on how to, I guess one, it's sort of get over that belief, but how do you actually make that work? What would you say are one or two key things that you do differently?
I love that. So a couple things. One, I think people need to remember, or I needed to learn, and a lot of other people need to learn that time, like weight on a scale, is just a number. So, you know, we think I don't have enough time, right? You know, I need to be this amount, like a number on the scale. It's really quite irrelevant. You know, if you need some more time, take the time and the rest of your body will recalibrate. It's like paying yourself first. They talk about this in that book I read along, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think. A key lesson. Take the time first. Figure out what do I need for this time? If it's like, okay, well, if I'm trying to find myself again, and that's going to start with fitness, or if I'm, you know, trying to build a business and I need 1 hour a day to start, even starting small at 30 minutes to 1 hour a day, take that time and take it in a time when no one else is going to interrupt you. So for me, that was always, I'm just going to get up earlier. And a lot of people cringe. They're like, oh my gosh, you get up at 4 a.m. I'm like, yeah, I get up at 4 a.m. Nobody bothers me at 4 a.m. I can get more done from 4 a.m. till 6:30 than I can get the rest of the day. Like, it's a high impact time. So First you need to recognize, okay, don't worry about what the time is on the clock. If you need an hour, get up earlier. And then what I like to do is habit stack. So I heard this term, I called it tying it to a constant, but I heard it better by, what's his name? A fellow who wrote Atomic Habits. I'll have to remember the author's name, but I heard him speak and he said it way more eloquently than me. If you know, if you have to wake up, like for me, I got to wake my son up by 6:30. He goes to school the first. I have to wake him up by 6:30 in order for our day to flow. So if I know that I need an hour in order to get up, you know, have a little like mindset time to get clear on my day, get my workout in or get my work hour in. If I need an hour, okay, I need to set my alarm an hour before that. So all of a sudden it's, I got to get up. This is my consistent habit already that 6:30 is the time. I'm going to get up earlier. And then I just kind of, I do sort of tack on, well, if this is when I'm getting up, what's the first habit I need to create? And you can kind of build your miracle morning or build your high impact hour. And now mine is a 2.5 hour window that I get so much done in there. And it's everything from, like for me, I wake up, I'm like, what are the things that I need to do in order to make the highest impact? You just said your first thing in the morning is when your subconscious is most susceptible. It's when we're the most rested and we have the most energy. So I guess that would be my other tip is, you know, people get really caught up in like, I just don't have willpower. Well, willpower is not a muscle, it's an energy. And we run out of energy in the day. So don't wait until later in the day to create new habits. It's really hard. You're setting yourself up for failure. Start your day with the habits that you're trying to create. You're gonna have a way better shot at getting them done. You're setting yourself up for success. So that's really my biggest tip for people is if you need an hour to build your business, take it in the morning before everyone else wakes up. Get yourself up and to, you know, put something positive in your head while you hit the snooze button once and get your gym clothes on or brush your teeth or whatever you need to do. And then do those key business building activities or whatever it is that you need to do first. Get them done. Rip off the Band-Aid. You know, like eat the frog. That's another great book that talks about eat your frog. Like eat the awful thing first. Get it done, like the most uncomfortable thing or the most high impact thing. And then honestly, the rest of the day is cake.
Are you a snooze meditator? So you put on snooze and it's like a meditation?
No, I put it on, I let myself have one snooze, but so like my alarm goes off, I hit snooze, I put AirPods in, and I usually like to put on something that's going to build energy for me. If I put meditation on in the morning, I will likely fall right back.
So what would you put on? What kind of stuff?
So lately I'm super into, I'll usually put on an Audible book that I'm listening to that, you know, gets me thinking about business or gets me thinking about something positive so that I can't go back to sleep. But lately I've been listening to Brendan Burchard's podcast, The Brendan Show. So it's just super relevant. You know, I loved all of Rachel Hollis's books. Like those got me laughing and thinking and in a really positive mindset. Sometimes it's just, if you're in a real funky funk, which happens hormonally or happens otherwise, sometimes just like your jam song. I always, for a while, I loved listening to Alessia Cara's Wild Things.
Yeah.
Crank it. I mean, no one else can hear it. It's in my, but it's like, I can't go back to sleep. My heart's beating. I'm starting to move. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, I can own this day. And I guess I would just, a lot of people, and I used to be this person, my day would start with my kids waking me up or like, you know, a little one waking me up. And it's, you're automatically behind. You're behind. So own your day, take responsibility for it and get up earlier. And then who cares if you fall asleep at 8:30? Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing good happens after 8:30 anyway.
Yeah. You know, like not a big deal. Like, especially, you know, if you're trying to be more in your life, it's not going to happen sitting on a couch because you want to make sure you have 2 hours to binge watch Netflix at night. It's just not. So wake up earlier and then you'll just be too tired to do that stuff.
Oh, that's such a good way to put it, right? The one thing I keep hearing over and over and over again is like, if you want to become a six-figure earner or a seven-figure earner or an eight-figure earner, do what you think you would do every day if you were already there. Yeah. And you think about that swap. Swap out your 2 hours of Netflix at the end of the day for getting yourself set up in the morning. No one's missing out there.
Yeah, it's no big deal. And you'll sleep better because your day started, like you're tired. So, yeah. And I think that would be, you know, the other thing is read in your bed or meditate mm-hmm. in your bed, put your kids to bed and then get into your bed or like mm-hmm. be with your husband or your partner. Those are way better things for your life than the 2 hours of Netflix. I get it. They're great in escaping, but like, no,
And it is interesting because once you get into that mentality of consuming where, you know, we consume things like TV and social media and all these things where our brain just sort of shuts off versus creating where you are in the moment, whether it be, you know, spending time with those you love or art or maybe listening to music or those sort of things. It's definitely a different reaction in the brain. Yeah. And I've always heard if you don't leave that room for creativity, it actually causes anger and depression and all those negative emotions, which makes sense. Your brain needs time for creativity and to build those pathways versus just, I always feel sick. I talked about this in a social media post recently. Like if I consume too much, like I watch too much TV or I scroll social media too much, I actually feel like I could vomit. I feel physically sick. It's really weird.
That is really interesting. That's like your body, because I feel like that's you being really in tune with your body and your body being like, listen, this is garbage. Get the garbage
yeah.
out.
Yeah, get the garbage out.
It's like when you eat too much junk. It's just garbage. You're going to feel sick.
Yeah, exactly. And so the next question I have for you, Bria, to sort of wrap things up here would be if you were going to give someone some advice about how to really take charge of their career and their success in wanting to build a life of freedom and flexibility like you have in the cracks of your day, as I've heard you say before, what do you think would be one or two things that they could start with right now, today, as they're hearing this?
Like a tangible activity?
Yeah, just to start off with.
So I think for me, everything has come down to two things. One is, again, clarity and belief that I can, that of where I'm going and that I'm capable of it. So, and the tool for that is always some type of personal development, some type of mindset thing. Because all day long, we're bombarded with things that distract us, that, you know, maybe bring us down, that maybe push us back into old habits. The people we've surrounded ourselves with, we can't help it. They think we are who we are. And so they will naturally bring us back to the place that we once were. You'll see it if, like, I know when I go hang out with my family, it's like I have moments where I'm already sinking back into the little girl that I once was. I have friends that I don't even, or old friends that I feel like uncomfortable wanting to be around because I think if I hang out with them, it's just going to drag me back to being who I was and I'm not that person anymore. So that would be the first thing is every single day. Every day there's got to be something going in your brain battling the fact that negativity will come in if you're not on top of it. So what does Jim Rohn say? Stand guard at the gates of your mind. Mm. You want to be careful of what's coming in. And so you need to, it's not just being careful and like not watching the news. You have to be proactively shoveling in positive content, belief, like actions towards where you're going. So make sure there's a daily habit of knowing where you're going and how you're getting there through some type of personal growth and development or confidence boost. Like, what do you need? So that would be number one. And the other thing is really just consistency. You have to, all business requires consistency. There's a universal truth that says you don't get to stay in one place. You're either going up or your habits are dragging you down. So what are the habits that you have every single day that is moving you closer towards your goal and not away from it? And so for me, when my kids were young, when I first started this business, that was like every nap time. Like, so every morning I'm up early getting, you know, my me time in and like whatever I could for work until I heard the pitter patter of little feet. And then every afternoon during nap time, I had a very crystal clear list of what I was doing in that business. And then I got to let it go. Did those two things and I moved on every day, and that starts to compound. Mm-hmm. So belief and positive mindset and then a consistent, you always use this term heartbeat and I love it, that consistent heartbeat, that consistent cadence of your daily action, which seem insignificant, will become a massive snowball. You have to, one, believe that it's going to happen and two, put the action into place.
Well, and I think there, if we say a bonus one here, something that you just said is like, when you sit down to do those things, you're not doing 20 things. It's I get these two things done yeah. that are the biggest rocks in my business, and then yeah. I move on. Because I think yeah. sometimes we sit down and we're like, oh, I got to finish these 20 things. And then we barely get one checked off the list.
And you know what, maybe to be more, even more tangible, it's because on Sundays I don't work out. They're like my day of rest. Mm. Sundays are the day where I like make the, like, what are the list of the things I need to do this week? And then I rank them, like what's most high impact, so that I am never sitting down with mum numb brain, you know, down and like if you're tired or there's a lot going on, being like, what am I doing? No, I have a list. I'm working on that first thing on that list. And I just go at it and go at it and go at it until that list is done.
Such great advice. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Bria, for being on the show. Before we wrap up here and we sign off, I have to say, for a lot of you guys that don't know this, Bria is the person that pulled me from working as a president, corporate life, and seeing that there was a possibility to do more. She was the first person that told me, hey, if I could hear your voice in a podcast, I would tune into that. I'd like to listen to you. And so all of these seeds were planted, and I'm sure you already know this, Bria, but all of these seeds were planted by Bria, and I've been so fortunate to call Bria a mentor, a really, really good friend, and someone that I can always go to as someone that has that entrepreneurial mindset that is always pushing the envelope. So I have to thank you, Bria, for everything that you've given to me and how much my life has expanded because of you.
Thank you for saying that. You know, you're on these podcasts, I try to keep it together, but you have been equally, if not more, as impactful in my life. So thank you. And I'm just so grateful for the work that you're doing because it's making a big difference everywhere and definitely with me.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Bria. And thanks guys so much for tuning in to Social Selling Simplified. And we will see you next week.
If you're ready to go 100% in building the business of your dreams, I'd love for you to apply at ashleyshaw.ca/mastermind. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I'll see you right back here for the next episode on Social Selling Simplified.